This is Rusty Tanton.
And Amber Ray.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that's sometimes hyper and sometimes local. In this episode, we interview Ken Womack, webmaster of EAVBuzz.net.
It's April 19th, and we are at Joe's Coffee in East Atlanta Village with
Ken Womack from EAV Buzz.
So what's EAV Buzz?
EAV Buzz is a neighborhood message board community site for East Atlanta.
I guess it's one of those hyper-local sites. That's the buzzword.
Hyper-local. Great.
So how did it come about?
We started it last June, pretty much as a result of East Atlanta Civic Association deciding to not have message boards anymore on their site. You know, there was a little bit of controversy about people talking critical of the neighborhood or businesses, and they decided they'd do better without message boards. So some of the people were in touch from there, and we kind of jumped in and started our own.
So do you have, what's your relation with them, anything, or just?
No, there's no, we're not affiliated.
Now, were you ever affiliated with the Civic Association?
I'm a member of it, but I've never had any official role with them.
Yeah, like any organizational type stuff.
No.
Yeah.
So how many members and what kind of activity do you see on the site?
We have right now about 470 registered users, of which I would say 100 or so are regularly active and involved. I know there's a number of people who don't post but
lurk.
Just read.
Yeah, yes. Lurkers.
Call them lurkers.
Lurkers.
And we have, since we do right now, probably anywhere from 250 to 400 messages a day.
Mm-hmm.
And total to this point is just shy, I guess, of 50,000.
Wow, that's
a lot.
Pretty impressive.
There's a lot of activity.
What kind of messages do you have? Is it mainly discussion about issues facing the community, or are there other things as well?
It's on a volume basis. It's mainly nonsense. If you think about message board communities.
Well, that's sort of the rule of thumb for anything. Is it for the internet, right?
Right.
I mean,
exactly. It's, you know, on one level, we just, you know, happen to be people who know each other, or, you know, have some sort of similar interest, so we talk about things that are completely unrelated to the neighborhood or anything else. But, you know, we have a lot of activity around local businesses, crime issues, things like, you know, how to deal with code enforcement, different kind of city agencies and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's the resource side of it.
It's probably provided a venue for that otherwise you wouldn't have, it seems like, or it would be more difficult to have, you know, holding meetings.
How long were the message boards with the Civic Association around before this came around?
I don't know exactly. I was probably involved there for a year or so they'd been around for a little while at least.
How long have you been living here?
7 years this month.
Okay, wow. So, and you'd been living here for 5 years before you'd even heard of the first message board?
Yeah, pretty much.
How did you end up hearing about that first? Do you remember?
I don't remember exactly. It may have been, you know, the ECA site is for other things as well.
Right.
They list meetings and contact and everything like that. So it was probably just stumbling across it there.
So since you've been here for 7 years, what kind of changes have you seen in terms of community involvement and interest ever since the site got started?
Well, for the site itself, I mean, we've been a lot more engaged with neighbors, you know, since the buzz started, even more so than the ECA message boards, because I don't think people had a sense of connection there that you do for an independent thing. So, I mean, it's really been, you know, night and day in terms of the number of neighbors we know and see and, you know, can call if something's going on since we started the board.
Yeah.
So beforehand, I knew, you know, like typically, you know, people who live right around you or who you may know through work or somebody, something that lives in the neighborhood.
I just think that's so interesting because you know, I'm sure you've heard the common criticism that people, I think, who don't know better say, you know, oh, well, all this internet, all the time we spend on the internet will make us more disconnected from our friends and neighbors and our communities. And but I see the opposite happening.
Right. And I mean, to illustrate that, a group of buzzers were down at our secret little dog park and are up at the Flatiron right now, and I'll go join them after this. I mean, it's
yeah,
very
Dave
much...
Yeah, Dave told me about that. There's like a regular gathering.
Yeah.
Right. It's very much of a social thing. I mean, just... It's not, you know, hiding in a little corner of the internet and talking back and forth.
Well, and going back for a second to when you were saying, well, you know, a lot of nonsense goes back and forth on the board. Well, isn't that nonsense kind of how people get to know each other?
Right.
How they kind of make connections with each other?
Yeah.
And if the... by discussing things that aren't necessarily on topic to civic issues or crime or buildings or whatever else. I mean, that's actually kind of how they
right.
get outside of that insular world of I only know this person for X.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, you know, those are the issues. We had a long string back and forth about mm-hmm. the Virginia Tech shootings, you know, with mm-hmm. people bringing up mm-hmm. all sorts of different things. You know, if it's what do you think of this new restaurant in East Atlanta, there's a little back and forth, a little opinion, and that's kind of the end of it, but
right.
but you're right that it brings out people's, it develops that relationship because you get a broader sense of who people are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you see them more as, you know, actual well-rounded people rather than just one facet.
Right.
Or the person who's railing against that restaurant they don't like on the corner.
And that's the only thing you know them
you
for.
Know, they have a background, and you know what they thought about the Virginia Tech shooting, for example. Well, I mean, it puts a little bit of a different perspective on it railing against the restaurant, even.
Sure.
Yeah. So would you say that EAV Buzz has helped mobilize people to become more active and, you know, taking an active role and participating in things that, I mean, code enforcement doesn't sound exciting to say it, but it's very important to
right.
the community.
Right. I think it has. You know, on a, there's kind of a several levels. You know, there's the total online community. There's the people who sort of get together in real life, and then the smaller subset of people who will get together and act on something. You know, we've had everything from a situation with someone who lives in the neighborhood who had a problem house nearby
mm-hmm.
where, you know, we had buzzers actually go hang out at this person's house on Saturday to show a sort of solidarity
oh, wow.
for the good people in the neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, some of the things we've done in looking around at problems we see with the commercial properties in the village, you know, where there's a group of us who go around and, you know, in an organized way, you know, take on these tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So those tend to be smaller, you know, little strike force type things, but yeah, when there's something going on, it's a resource you tap into and kind of find the people who have a particular passion about that.
Yeah. And how engaged are you in just other kinds of community involvement? It sounds like, from what I was reading, it seems like you go to like a lot of board meetings and stuff like that.
I try to go to the ECA meetings and the NPU meetings, things like that. You know, it's a chance, number one, to see kind of the broad brush things that are coming out in the neighborhood, but also to develop relationships with the ECA leadership and the NPU leadership and folks like that.
What is the deal with the Inman Park property situation? Because I know there's been a lot of issues surrounding some of the properties that they own in the building.
Right. Inman Park owns a substantial portion of the commercial part of East Atlanta. I think, you know, of the village area, it's something like 24, 27 different parcels around here. And late last year, there was a buzz going on, for lack of a better term, that they were purchasing more property. So... certain things that they own around here, including the Morton School, the what we call Tucker Automotive across from the old Echo Lounge there, the East Atlanta Lock and Key, the B&W supermarket, they own a lot of properties that it seems they're willing to just have sit around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's concerning to people who live in the neighborhood, because if you see a track record, you know, for whatever reason, company that says, okay, it's in our interest to just buy something and having it sit around. That's not in our interest.
Exactly.
You know, we want to see opportunities for businesses to come in. We want landlords to be creating space for business. We want people who are really active and engaged, not just sitting on an investment property. So that spurred a good bit of action, because it was honestly just concerning that Inman Park is looking to expand their presence in East Atlanta when they don't have a particularly great track record here.
So it sounds like the EAV Buzz, the community that it's formed within the East Atlanta Village community. I know I just used the word community twice, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It sounds like they've maybe been able to put pressure on Inman Park properties a little. How's that been working?
You know, it's hard to really gauge,
yeah,
you know, what the effect is. There's a couple of, you know, concrete things that have happened. You know, there were your traditional, let's put information together and send them a letter and kind of protest. That went on, but, you know, I don't know what effect that has. Kind of separately from the buzz, I've been trying on my personal blog to kind of elevate some of the issues that are in East Atlanta.
Right.
So there's more of a presence if you're searching for Inman Park properties, to understand our situation here, just because I don't think it's something that's apparent to the broad world.
Now, going back for just a second, I'm sorry if I didn't
no,
mean to
no
interrupt
problem.
You if I did. Why do you think Inman Park would sit on the property?
Just speculation. Mm-hmm. I think of, you know, a company that has, you know, a lot of money resources, mm-hmm, is looking to buy properties that ultimately will pay off for them in rent or in resale or something like that, but they don't have financial pressure on themselves to immediately start generating income. Mm-hmm. So my guess would be if they can pick up a property that's affordable for them to just sit on until, mm-hmm, whatever time it makes logical sense to do whatever they want to do with it, they're okay with doing that.
So just theoretically, say some of the other businesses go out on that block, they buy the rest of those, they tear the whole area down and build something bigger?
That's an extreme,
uh-huh,
theory.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot. I guess they call that block busting.
I've heard that too.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know that there's necessarily, mm-hmm, evidence of that, but if you think about the area behind the Flatiron over here,
yeah,
they actually own, you know, from next, mm-hmm, next to the Burglar Bar place down to this little road that, uh-huh, that cuts between Glenwood and May. They own this big swath over there,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, is a lot of open land, a, mm-hmm, lot of potentially buildable, mm-hmm, property that right now has three vacant buildings, mm-hmm, on it, one of which is supposedly being converted to a restaurant right now. But you could see where they say, okay, let's just let those buildings sit there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to rent them out or whatever, until ultimately the economy here is such that they could afford, you know, it would be a worthwhile investment for them to build something there.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily tearing down,
mm-hmm,
a bunch,
yeah,
of properties, but, you know, especially in the case of things that are kind of sitting by themselves, just saying the land is great and one day we'll,
right,
put condos or something there.
Yeah.
Now, the Madison Theater, that's another issue, right?
Yes.
It's where does it stand right now?
In ruins. it's owned by a gentleman named Abe Asher, who bought a lot of property in the 80s. Used to store mattresses.
Now, when did the Madison close originally? Do you know?
I don't know.
But it's been, obviously, a long time sitting there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, he has a for rent sign on the door. But, you know, my secondhand understanding is he expects a tenant who would come in there to fund a lot of the improvements that would need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you know, the feeling is that he's expecting an unreasonable economic return from,
right,
a tenant. It's, you know, it's certainly not in rentable shape. It doesn't sound like he's going to get someone who's willing to come to terms with what he's looking for.
So sort of a stalemate right now.
Sort of a stalemate. And I mean, it would be a major, major investment,
yeah,
to get that place back into any kind of shape.
What type of use do you hear the East Atlanta community, you know, wanting to see that put toward?
Typically, you hear, you know, performing, you know, whether it's music venue or, you know, we've heard a community arts kind of use, nonprofit, you know, some things like that. I think it lends itself, you know, naturally to some sort of, you know, performance-based thing, like a Variety Playhouse or something like that, on a smaller scale.
Can you think of anything that might be a good effort to try to break that stalemate, try to spur somebody into action?
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, Abe has sat on this property for a long time, and he bought his properties really, really cheaply. Mm-hmm. I've heard people say that the billboard on top of the Mary's building probably pays, you know, for all of his upkeep on his properties. I'm encouraged that his taxes have been going up. Mm-hmm. You know, I think really what it'll take is for someone else to own that property. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the past couple of months, they've actually redone these little side spaces at the Madison. One is opened as a purse store now. The other is going to be an extension of the navy blue clothing store. So he's, you know, it seems like he's feeling more of a need to get some revenue out of that property. So, you know, I would like to think that means he's getting a little more pressure to not just let things sit.
Going back to the EAV Buzz site specifically, what future plans do you have for it?
I mean, that's an interesting question, because what we've seen over this, you know, almost year is, you know, taking it from just being a message board, you know, typical thing, to really understanding, you know, the dynamic here in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done a couple of one-off things throughout the year, you know, creating little Google Map mashups that show, you know, the highest valued homes in the neighborhood and things like that. There's a lot of information that is relevant, you know, to people in the community. So if you think about ultimately, you know, does it evolve into something that has other interaction, other information beyond message board, I think makes sense. Mm-hmm. How we do that, I'm really not sure yet. But it's the potential of the community, you know, because, you know, even the most frustrating things of, you know, you have a message that was posted 4 months ago about something and people had a long conversation and got a lot of great information. Somebody new comes in, you know, the nature of message boards, not always easy to follow some older thread, and it gets rehashed, you know, all over again. Mm-hmm. So if it was presenting information in more of a, once we know good sets of information people are interested in, exposing that somehow outside of the message board setting,
right,
then that might, you know, increase the utility for the neighborhood.
Have you heard anything, slightly off topic but not totally, about the AJC's reorganization and how they've dropped a lot of the, you know, sort of senior staff there? And I know that even relative to like 20 years ago, it seems like the community reporting is kind of, you know, not what it used to be.
Barely existent.
And I mean, do you see these kinds of sites as sort of being a replacement for that, or a supplement to that kind of thing?
Well, since it doesn't exist much anymore, it's easy to supplement.
Yeah.
Right? I guess there's the experiment that one of the papers in Florida was doing with the hyper-local dude with a laptop and a camera reporting on Little League games or something like that.
Yeah.
It's hard to force. Mm-hmm. You know, say you're assigned to East Atlanta, so you're going to be there and you're going to care.
Go make some news.
Right.
But especially if you actually live there,
exactly.
It's a different story.
Especially when you're thinking about being promoted and leaving somewhere in a year or two.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a big problem, especially among TV news, is you know, folks who are in TV news are very ambitious people, and they don't seem to stick around very long.
Right. Right. And yeah, from the kind of ground up community sense, there's a lot of logic in that.
Yeah.
You know, we've had one of the running threads on the board is what we call Ghetto Bird Up, which is somebody hears the police helicopter going around and you know, you'll simply pose, hey, you know, I hear the ghetto bird, what's going on?
Yeah.
We actually there was a situation a couple weeks ago, I think some kids had stolen a car or no, they were wanted in a murder down south of here the day before, and the cops had found them and they'd bailed out and were running around the neighborhood. And somebody actually said they got a call from their wife and was like, hey, what's going on? I hear the police choppers. And he went to the buzz and saw, yes, a new ghetto burned up, and was actually able to get his news from people who were in the neighborhood that day and reporting what they're seeing and, you know, talking about, you know, cops are down here on this street and this is going on, and you know, that's breaking news, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, real time.
Real time,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, when there was a fire, when, what was the name of that club? My sister's room?
Uh-huh.
In Decatur, it burned down a few weeks ago.
Right.
You know, I took cell phone photos of it and put it to Flickr from my phone, you know, and so that stuff was up really not too long ago.
Covered.
Yeah, I didn't either.
In the AJC, I didn't know there, but I did look the next day and I couldn't find anything.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking about Grave reopening before it closed and reopened. So, I mean, there's that aspect of, you know, people understand certain dynamic here, you know, very deeply.
Right.
And it becomes, you know, ahead of the story. So you could call that reporting, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You could call it. It's citizen journalism.
That's right.
The buzzword.
Again, it's in that message board format,
right,
which is probably not ideal. But when you tap that community, then what
collective
can you create?
Intelligence, all
right.
That. Well, you know, even if somebody throws something up that's completely wrong, it encourages someone to
discussion.
Say, oh, hey, yeah, you're not right about that.
I think the message board makes sense for what you're doing with the site. I mean, honestly, it seems to be, because the whole point is to have conversation among neighbors, so
right.
I think it makes sense.
Well, from the kind of news aspect, you know, somebody who was doing a Google search or something like that, kind of being dropped in the middle of something, or, you know, there's...
Yeah, there could be something else, like you were saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Or something that exposed, you know, you tagged a message and it kind of rose up to the front, and, you know, sort of sticky in a broader sense.
Well, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
No, we're planning a first anniversary party on around June 7th, which is our anniversary. So we'll be choosing a venue here to shut down for the night, probably. we have a tendency to do that when we all get together.
Nice. Our non-East Atlanta Village residents welcome.
Absolutely, anytime. We get. You know, we get a good bit of visitation from people who, you know, either hang out here occasionally or, you know, people who are looking for houses, you know, thinking about where to live, have come on and said, you know,
oh,
this
cool.
is great. You know, so much good information about the neighborhood.
They could actually talk to people who live there.
Right.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we give advice about, you know, how much you should be paying for a house, for certain people. So it's become a little bit broader than just East Atlanta Resource.
Very cool. Well, I don't think we ever gave the URL, so what's that?
It is eavbuzz.net.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Ken.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
You.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.